Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson, and today's question comes to us from Rebecca, who wrote, I think that my husband is depressed. He just does not seem his usual happy self when he comes home from work, and on the weekends, he tends to stay in bed and watch TV. When I ask him about it, he says that he doesn't want to talk. Is it depression? And if so, what do I do? Well, thanks for the question, Rebecca. It's a really great question, and you really hit on several of the important sort of classic symptoms that we think of with clinical depression. But just to be sure, let's go through the typical symptoms that we think of with depression so that you can better evaluate the situation, at least as you're trying to consider what to do next. When we think of the symptoms of depression, and I think a lot of other people do too, the acronym SIGECAPS, SIGECAPS. Now, the first S is for sleep. People with depression tend to experience a significant change in their sleeping patterns. For some, that change results in a lot more sleep, and for others, it results in a lot less sleep. Either way, it could be depression, and so what we're really just looking at is a change in sleeping patterns. It doesn't matter which way, we're just looking for a change from previous functioning. The I stands for interests, and interest is really an important factor, and in fact, besides the sadness and depressive symptoms themselves, interest is one of the key symptoms of depression. And what I mean by interest, I'm talking about the person's interest in doing things that they typically enjoy. Oftentimes we refer to it as anhedonia, but it just doesn't fit in the acronym very well. But anhedonia is the absence of pleasure, the absence of a goal or a determination to experience pleasure. So when people are depressed, they often have a really difficult time finding pleasure in things that they typically enjoy. So things that they really liked doing before, they may stay away from or may just feel not very motivated to do at all. Now, the G in SIGECAPS is guilt. For a lot of people, depression is derived from guilt. They feel guilty about things that they've done. Sometimes it's authentic guilt, meaning that something happened, they actually did something that would cause them to have some guilt. Other times they experience guilt, but really for absolutely no reason. They just feel guilty, and there's really no rationale behind it. But again, it's a common symptom that we see with depression. The E is for energy. People with depression tend to have very low energy. They experience fatigue. They feel as though it's really difficult for them to get up and get going. So even if they can't sleep, it's not that they aren't tired. Many times they're very tired. Many times they're very fatigued and just wore down and just don't have the energy to get up and get going. But they can't sleep anyways. So changes in energy, again, usually it's in the direction of fatigue that we see those changes. The C is for concentration. Many times people with depression have a really difficult time concentrating and making decisions. They have a hard time focusing and problem solving and making decisions that they have to make on a daily basis. The A is for appetite. Sort of like we talked about with sleep, appetite is what I'm talking about here is just really a change in eating habits. Sometimes people who are really depressed start to eat much more than usual. They find comfort in eating, and so they will eat have an increase in caloric intake. Others do the opposite. They find themselves where they can't eat. They have no appetite. They have no interest in eating anything. So again, like with sleep, with appetite, really we're just thinking about a change, a significant change in either direction. Also, in that same way, is the P is for psychomotor movement. So what we're talking about here is how if the person, how well they move. Sometimes people who are depressed get very fidgety, and so we call that psychomotor agitation. They're fidgety, they're restless, they can't stop moving, they're rolling around and in bed because, you know, again, they're having difficulty sleeping, but they're just agitated in their movements. On the other hand, many times they have what they call psychomotor retardation, which means that they're moving very slow and maybe sometimes can't even move at all. When it really gets that severe, we call that catatonia. But it's a difficulty moving and doing fluid movements with these psychomotor problems. And so you see people who are depressed who just move very slow, and it's difficult for them to get things done, and it, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand with that fatigue and that lack of interest and decreased motivation and all those kinds of things. Now, the final S in our Sigi caps is suicidal thoughts. And of course, this is just thoughts about death, thoughts about hurting oneself. It's not just suicidal thoughts. It can be just thoughts about death, thoughts about, you know, what would it be like if I wasn't here? It doesn't necessarily require any planning or any, certainly never an attempt or anything like that. It doesn't require any of those kinds of things. It's just the thoughts, those intrusive thoughts that come to people sometimes when they're depressed about, you know, well, it probably would just be better off if I wasn't here anymore. Or, you know, if a person is making statements like, you know, you guys would just, it would just be so much better for you guys if I wasn't even around. You know, those are the kinds of statements that we typically see with depression associated with that suicidal type thoughts. Again, even if it's not really, you know, saying that I'm going to hurt myself, it's that, you know, if I wasn't here, you guys would be doing better. So, with those eight symptoms, and the ninth symptom, of course, is feeling depressed, you know, feeling sad, crying, and just that uncontrolled sadness that comes with depression. But with these symptoms, you know, if a person has four or five of these, then you're probably talking about a depressive episode. Now, technically speaking, diagnostically speaking, for it to be a depressive episode, it has to be present for at least 2 weeks. You know, a good number of these, four or five of these symptoms need to be present for at least 2 weeks. And it's tough. It's tough as a spouse, many times, to know if your loved one is experiencing depression, because they don't always say, they don't always tell you how they're feeling. Many spouses will, you know, talk positively, or they'll minimize. They'll tend to say, no, you know, I'm just fine. It's all right. You know, sometimes we'll say, you know, we have the blues, or, you know, I'm just, you know, I had a rough day at work. But if you're getting to a situation where most days of the week are tough days at work, and then it bleeds over to the weekend, as Rebecca, you mentioned, you know, certainly you have cause for concern, and you want to make sure that your husband is doing okay and that there aren't any major issues. So look at his symptoms, look at his behaviors, and if you see, you know, a good number of these, I think that it's worth, you know, sitting down and talking with him, and, you know, maybe sharing your concern that, you know, it sounds like it looks like you're getting pretty depressed. You know, what's going on? And if he doesn't want to talk to you about it, you know, encourage him to talk with a therapist, or, you know, in the very least, get in with his primary care physician to talk about what's going on. You know, medication is always tough with these kinds of scenarios, because, you know, the research really suggests that most depressive episodes spontaneously recover or spontaneously diminish and go away in 4 to 6 weeks. And so, you know, by that time, even if he started taking medication right at the beginning, you know, the medication would just be starting, and we would be expecting the depressive episode to end anyway. So, you know, it's tough to say whether or not medication is a good idea, but certainly talking with a therapist would be a good plan, a good idea for him. You know, a couple of therapy sessions sometimes just allows a person to get whatever is weighing them down out, and that in and of itself can make them feel so much better. So, all right, Rebecca, I hope that helps. And, you know, I certainly hope that if your husband's having a rough time, that he will be able to get some support that he needs so that he can, you know, get back to his usual happy self, as you described. Before we end today, a couple of great announcements. We were going to record this podcast. I'm recording today on Today is the 8th. I'm recording on the 8th. And surprisingly, Dr. Marshall is in the office today. He's with patients, and we had a few things happen today that led to me recording this podcast much later than I had anticipated. And so he wasn't able to join me because he's in with patients, but he is back. He's ready to go. He's been writing, he's been thinking, and he is ready to tackle some issues as soon as we can get back in front of the microphone together and get to work on it. So I'm excited to get him back in. Hopefully we'll be able to record some this weekend so that we can get some things out. And so I'm not recording podcasts and episodes on a as released basis. You know, hopefully we can kind of stack them up a little bit so that we have some more things to get out. So, but again, Dr. Richard's back and he is ready to go. A second announcement, of course, is our books that we have available. The parenting book that we have published through the Amazon ebook, Amazon Kindle. It's the Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child, Part 1. And behavior management is the title. We are working on part 2. We've got a couple of those chapters that we're doing some final revisions on, and we just have a couple more to finish up and polish. And so we're ready to go with that. But those will be available soon. If you haven't got it yet, make sure you get part 1. It's a great resource, and it offers there's so many added materials that you'll have access to. Same thing with the Elimination Diet Manual. It's also available on Kindle. Great way to look at your diet and see what's going on and making sure that it's not affecting, nothing you're eating is affecting your emotional and physical health. Now, the best announcement is that the Parenting Your ADHD Child course is not active. There's actually, the link is up on the website. If you go to paedialllc.com, so paedialllc.com, click on courses and you'll see the little button there. Check it out. See what you think. The course will be live on June 20th. Now I say live, but what, July 20th, not June 20th, July 20th. And what I mean by live is that all of the materials and everything will be up and available for those who purchase the course by July 20th. We're just making some final additions and thinking about what we're going to include in each of the lessons as far as additional resources and things. But the videos are done, the audio are all done, and we're just kind of assembling the course now, and it is ready to go. It's been outlined and it is all there. So check it out. PaedialLLC.com. I will have the link in the show notes, and if you watch this on YouTube, I'll have a link in the video there. So very excited about it. I've spent a lot of hours over the last couple of days trying to get this thing moving and get it to where it needs to be so it can get out to you guys, and it is so close. It's almost there. So all right, well, I think that is it for today. I really appreciate you listening. Come back next time. We'll have Dr. Richard will be here with me, and it'll be great to have him back in the podcast room with me. So until next time, I'm Dr. Bernie. Have a great weekend, and forget to be afraid.